Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, service through the power of thought. And before we get started with our show, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors Inner Sight. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. Following thought also comes from Alice Bailey. It has been said that what is going on in the world today is the working out of ideas, and this can now be clearly seen. Those who have some conception of the power of thought face a situation of great opportunity and responsibility. What are some ideas that are working out in the world, and can you give us an example?
I can think of a few. It might come as a surprise to listeners to think that the condition of the world as it is now is the expression of ideas, but when we look at the emphasis put today on freedom by not only the American government, but we see it rising up in the form of human rights and the demand for more liberty on the part of a lot of minorities and peoples that have been suppressed before, we realize that's an idea that's very much come into its own, the demand for freedom. Another idea that we see working out in the world is democracy in varied forms. Not everybody perceives the idea of freedom or the idea of democracy in the same way. And I think that's something we need to understand. People have different takes on these concepts according to their own past history and the values of their culture. But those are two.
Yes, and following along with that, the idea of freedom, our whole country was founded on that basic idea. You could say our country was founded on the idea of freedom, and it's filtered down through into human consciousness and spreading out into the world, and this is exactly the result of the power of thought. And how it can spread through human communication and through human use.
We can see today the spread of values, I think, through the mass communications media, through travel. People are much more in touch with each other. And certain values, cultural values and spiritual values, can be spread quite rapidly through the medium of mass communications. But there's another level of communication that spreads ideas, that spreads the power of thought, and that is the spiritual level. In other words, thought on the mental plane does not find itself contained within barriers, within compartments. The mental plane, according to the ageless wisdom, is free of barriers. There are no barriers in consciousness. So that what we think, what we aspire to, the values we hold, the ideas that we seek to develop in our own understanding and transmit to others, are automatically communicated in a universal way. through the power of thought. And that's an amazing and very powerful form of service that people can participate in, regardless of their station in life, regardless of their health or their circumstances, no matter how limited they might be, even if they are housebound or elderly or whatever. The ideas that we create and develop with clarity and with lucidity and unselfishness become a means of service to the whole of the world. If we train ourselves through meditation and through the development of clear, lucid thinking to express these ideas on the level of pure consciousness, not just keeping them on an emotional level.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the key, is to lift the ideas that we have up to the plane of mind, as it says, and to realize that our thoughts, the things that we think about all through the day, are creating these patterns of thought all around us, what they call thought forms. And these are thoughts that are actually vibrating the very substance of our minds and of our emotional nature, and they're creating patterns of thought within this that surround us, and you know, in the very atmosphere that surrounds us, and we are constantly thinking.
So if we're obsessing over something, we're creating something.
We're creating, that's right. You're creating a very obsessive kind of thought form that can literally encompass your whole thinking, and you become imprisoned by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people who are obsessive seem to be this way. They are imprisoned. They have this one-track mind kind of thing, and they are literally imprisoned, encased in this great huge thought form that they are constantly creating and building and building and building upon, and it just never dissipates.
Yes, in fact, they strengthen it. They strengthen the barricades around them in their misery by continually returning to it, like mulling over a wound. But if one takes that same potential to strengthen something through obsessing over it and transforms that into lucid, unselfish, pure use of the mind, then you can see the enormous potential for service. But it's not so easy to do.
No, and fortunately, most of us, the power of our thought is not that powerful.
It's,
so it doesn't carry that far. It may just carry just, you know, in our immediate surroundings and with the people that we're with at the time. And but it's the potential for greatness is there for good and for bad. I mean, you can create a lot of good, pure thoughts. You can create a lot of angry thoughts,
mm-hmm.
too. You see these kinds of people that walk around that are in a cloud. And literally, they're in a cloud. They're this astral cloud that they've built around themselves. Or the opposite of that is someone who walks into the room and is full of light, and they're
mm-hmm.
giving off this radiant light, and, you know, they don't have a negative thought in their body.
And they may not have a great deal to say either.
Mm-hmm. But it's the clarity of their whole mind and the clarity of their emotional nature that lets that light pour through, the light from the soul.
Isn't that one of the three ancient rules for emotional control, which says, he thinks with me and I am strong to do the right? Have you ever known people who, in their presence, you seem to think more clearly because they themselves are clear and calm in their thinking, calm in their emotional reactions, and somehow you can think more clearly just being with them?
Yes, it reminds me of that saying, one person thinking truth can revolutionize his environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the way it is.
There is a lot of potential in this for humanity, because the very word by which we call ourselves man means thinking entity or one who thinks. Man's role in the divine plan is to be the mediator, the receiver and distributor of the idea of the plan for our world. In other words, the plan depends upon human recognition, registration, and cooperation in order for it to work out on our planet. And every week we close our program with the Great Invocation. The fourth stanza says, from the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out. It has to work out through the center, humanity, because man is one who thinks. In other words, human minds have to realize and recognize God's intention and somehow formulate that intention into concepts, ideas that are then transmitted throughout human consciousness and make impact on the minds of intelligent, thinking men and women of goodwill, who can then implement those ideas in their own particular fields, because the divine plan has to work out in all fields of human experience, not just the religious. It has to work out in the field of economics through right sharing, and in the field of government through correct and inclusive meeting of the needs of all societies. It has to work out through culture and the arts, through science, through, what have I left out? Psychology. Every field of human activity
through education.
Education is part of the plan. And so people in all of these fields and more can be part of this recognition of divine ideas as they seek to work out in the various fields of human endeavor, and that's our task as a species.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, service through the power of thought. And if you'd like a package of information or packet of information on service through the power of thought, which is the subject of today's discussion, what you need to do is give us a call on our toll-free number, and we'll be happy to send it out to you free of charge. The toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247. And once again, take advantage of our offer from Lucis Trust, a free packet of information on service through the power of thought. And once again, the toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. 8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. And also, if you'd like to, you can key into our website. We have a website, and many people key into it primarily for the reason of listening to previously archived shows. We have a whole library of shows that have been archived for you to listen to. And we'd welcome you to key into our website for the past radio shows, as well as other information about Lucis Trust. So the website is www.lucistrust.org. That's www.lucistrust.org. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. And then you click on Inner Sight. I think at this point, I'd also like to ask, getting back to our show, I'd like to ask, how do we create powerful thoughts that are meaningful, and hopefully those thoughts are of great benefit to humanity? And I think also you said that they should be unselfish thoughts. So how would you go about creating thoughts that are clear and powerful?
Well, first of all, one would have to learn to quiet the emotional reactions. If you're constantly dealing with emotional turmoil, you probably can't think very clearly in those moments. So achieving a certain degree of emotional stability and calm in your life is step one. But there's also a challenge of achieving stability and calm on the level of the mind. Today, with all the stimulation we receive through the media, I think people are vibrating more and more rapidly on the mental plane. They have trouble sleeping at night. They have trouble focusing on any particular project for any length of time. They're constantly distracted by cell phones, by the internet, by other media, by other interests. It's a terribly stimulating time. And I think everyone has to purposefully create moments of peace and calm in their lives through silence, through perhaps listening to great music, through nature. Whatever brings that mental quietude, that's important. Beyond that, decentralizing oneself, taking oneself off the center of the stage and learning to cultivate a sense of humanity.
I think the intent behind the idea is also important to keep in mind too. What are your intentions with this idea that you're working with? Are you working out an idea for a new development or some kind of project you're working on?
Or a scheme to get rich.
A scheme to get rich. Well, if your intentions are selfish and just want to get rich and make a lot of money and you're willing to step on anybody in the way, then you better be prepared for the results of that.
Well, there are people, very successful people, use mental energy in just that mm-hmm. way, and they're very good at it.
Yes, they are, and we see.
And we admire them. Many people admire them highly.
And they are using the power of thought to create what they want to create. Mm-hmm. But it's the intention behind the thoughts that really give it the power, I think, and the staying power. You have to stay with it. Mm-hmm. If you want this thought to become this idea to become a manifest and to work out into the world in some physical form, you have to stay with it. And as long as the eye stays intent on the idea, then it will be vitalized and stay alive. But once the thought or the intent is withdrawn from the idea, then you withdraw the energy from it and it dissipates.
Yeah, it's not really a form of obsession that we're talking about, but of quiet persistence and unwavering focus. It isn't meant to be the kind of blind zeal that obliterates everybody around you and leaves you indifferent to the needs of and responsibilities you have toward family, work, friends, and community. But it's a kind of unwavering persistence that I think is really the separating quality between really successful servers and people who would like to give a bit to the world but don't really know what to do. There are so many well-intentioned people that kind of flounder from one project to another, from one commitment to another, but don't really stay with it. They go on to whatever is the next most interesting thing. So I think the old bromide of bloom where you are planted applies. Start now and where you are to bring more light, more goodwill, more right human relationships into whatever environment you find yourself now. And expand your consciousness through effort, day in, day out, to include more and more of the whole. Most of us are limited to an identification of our group, our family, our kind, whatever we think that is. But if we can expand that to include people whose lives are vastly different than ours, just through sheer imagination, knowing their humanity is the same as ours, it can expand our sense of our humanity, and it can open up our recognition of ways in which we can help to meet the need of people everywhere. I'm speaking on the level of consciousness through meditation, through prayer, through right thought. Alice Bailey made an interesting comment about the plan and the immediate objectives, and they all have to do with the quality of thought rather than with activity per se. She said the first objective is to raise the level of human consciousness so that intelligent men and women will grasp the world of ideas and the realm of intuition.
Right, I was just thinking while you were saying that we are actually working at being creators in mm-hmm. the same way that God is also a creator. We are working on our microcosmic level in the same way that God works on his or its own level of being. And so, as it says in the Bible, God spoke and the worlds were created.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the sound that was given off by that sound that God speaking in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Mm-hmm. And it's that great sound that issued forth that set in motion the creation of the world and everything on the world. Mm-hmm. And it's that type of thing that we are doing also when we speak, when we think. We are also creating at our own minuscule little level here, but it's following the same pattern of thought that goes on, is constantly going on in the mind of God.
The continuing with these objectives, Alice Bailey said, the second objective of the plan is the clarifying of the international situation. To me, this is an area where all people who are the least bit concerned with the state of the world can contribute. The clarifying of the international situation, I think that means not just forming your opinions and demonizing everybody that thinks differently than you, but really familiarizing yourself with the issues on the world scene, thinking them through, thinking as inclusively as you can, rather than saying all the bad people are on the other side and the good people are on my side, but really thinking in a humanistic, pan-human way, can be an enormous contribution to the people who actually bear responsibility for the decisions, the people in government and in non-governmental organizations and so on.
In clarifying the situation, one needs to not just talk about the symptoms or the mm-hmm. outer actions, but also try to get back to the cause of what's happening in the world. Ideas just don't happen out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are set in motion by human actions and human thoughts and human ideas and human desires, mostly today. And it's trying to understand and get behind these ideas and see what's causing them. Then there is a certain clarity and a certain coming together, because I think once you can trace back to the cause, then you are reaching back to that state of union,
mm-hmm.
where at the soul level, and that's where most human beings can find a sense of unity.
And the third objective of the plan, Alice Bailey said, is the growth of the group idea, leading to emphasis on group good, group understanding, group interrelation, and group goodwill. The growth of the group idea. How much progress do you think we've made in developing that particular objective as we move into this new century?
Well, it's happening, I think. Just, it's not being planned that way so much as it is happening. It's here again, the group idea is the impulse of the soul coming through, because the soul is said to be in group consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It is group conscious. It is not this individual, selfish little self-conscious. It is group conscious. It is not concerned with the individual as such. So its concern is for the whole. And this is moving us closer to the actual what's in the will of God, to understand and see the world and make plans and develop and create in terms of the whole. And this is beginning to, just in the past two or three or four decades, it's beginning to pick up, and we're automatically working at the group level.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens today without working through a group. of some kind, even whether it's a committee,
mm-hmm.
and that's not always so good, but it's just the problems that we face are so huge and monumental that it takes a group, like the group of eight nations,
mm-hmm.
the leaders
mm-hmm.
of the nations, the group of eight that meets once a year to hash out the different problems of the world.
Alice Bailey said that service is not so much an activity as it is a spontaneous effect of soul contact. It's a demonstration of the soul in human affairs, she said. So it's not a quality or a performance, and it's not a method of world salvage. It's more of a life demonstration. And I find that thought so inspiring because it suggests that we can serve by awakening to the soul quality in ourselves and in everyone whose lives touches ours, learning to see the so-called imprisoned splendor in others, the oft-hidden spiritual quality, whether it's truth, goodness, or beauty, within the most flawed and human of people, can be a way of strengthening and stimulating the soul in them so that they are stronger in their own development as spiritual beings. And doing this, especially with children, as parents and teachers should do, can awaken something really precious and potential in others that then is quickened in them and somehow nourished without any particular outer action. It happens through our conscious recognition of this quality in them. There are so many ideas for serving through the power of thought. Maybe we can continue next time.
And please take advantage of the free offer from Lucis Trust, and that is the packet of information on service through power of thought. Just ask for the free booklet, the free packet, rather, on service through power of thought. And in order to contact us to get the packet of information, you need to give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Or 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. And also you can ask for a general package of information that would tell you more about Lucis Trust since you're calling up. And I guess the most frequently asked question is a religion. No, it's not. It's a spiritual philosophy organization, and you'll see people from all religions and walks of lives who attend meetings and participate in discussions. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.